We thank God that you are here this morning. We do welcome each and every one of you here this morning, of course, to Logos Fellowship Church, where the Word of God is not only proclaimed, but it is also explained. As you know, we are a teaching ministry, and we always pray that you never leave here the same, but that you always leave here with a greater understanding of God's Word and exactly how you can apply it to your lives. Amen. 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 Saints of God, we're going to jump right on into the Word of God this morning. And this morning, we want to deal with the subject and topic, a prescription for distress. A prescription for distress. This morning, we will be in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 13. And we just want to read verses 1 through 14 so we can get an understanding as we look at and as we work a prescription for distress. And the Word of God reads, Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years over Israel. Now Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel, of which 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash, and in the hill country of Bethel, while 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gibeah of Benjamin. But he sent away the rest of the people, each to his tent. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines and was at Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout the land, saying, Let the Hebrews hear. All Israel heard the news that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines, and also that Israel had become odious to the Philistines. The people were then summoned to Saul at Gilgal. Now the Philistines assembled to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen, and people like the sand which is in the seashore in abundance. And they came up and camped at Michmash, each at Bethaven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were hard pressed, then the people hid themselves in caves, in thickets, in cliffs, in cellars, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, trembling. The text goes on and says, Now he waited 7 days, according to the appointed time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. So Saul said, Bring to me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. As soon as he finished the offering and the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him and to greet him. But Samuel said, What have you done? And Saul says, Because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and that you did not come within the appointed days, and the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, therefore I said, Now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself and offered the burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, You have acted foolishly and have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord what commanded you. Saints of God, this morning as we look at and as we deal with the subject and topic, a prescription for distress, it's important for us to understand that we find in the text, if you go back and if you read 1 Samuel, that from King Saul was a powerful king. He had went through and he had fought many victories, and he was a man that exhibited a very meek and humble spirit at first. But we find when we get over to chapter number 13 of 1 Samuel that this mighty man of God, he begins to unravel. He begins to toot his own horn, basically. We find that he begins taking credit for his son's victory. All right, we find that because it was his son's victory over the Philistines, not his. We find and we must understand that pride is always a sure sign that we are about to fall. We find over in Proverbs 16 and 18, it says that pride goes before what? Destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. We must make sure that we are not individuals that act like the King Saul. Saul was feeling mighty good about himself. And he gathered the people of Israel, according to the text, to Gilgal. But we find, based on the text, that the Philistines had decided that they would take some air out of King Saul's bubble. Take some air out of his balloon, as one might say. For we find in verse number 6 of the text, it says this. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a what? In a strait. For people were hard pressed. All right. When we talk about the being in a strait, the word strait literally means distressed. It literally means to cramp. All right. They were in a situation. They were hard pressed, according to the text. Now, how many of you ever had a cramp in your leg? Come on now. That thing got a hold of you. Like, come on now. You can't work that thing out. Come on now. I don't know what happened. I was doing good all along. But this was what he was talking about. They were distressed. Now, this is the kind of situation that Israel was in at this time. They were in a strait. They were in distress because of everything that was going on. We find that Webster's Dictionary defines strait also as distress or distress need, it says. Now, how many of us have ever been in a strait? How many of us have ever been in distress? Come on now. How many of us ever had to deal with some situations and we didn't know how we were going to get out of this situation? How were we going to work this thing out? Come on now. Sometime, some of us were in mental distress. Come on now. Mentally, you're wondering, Lord, oh, help me, Jesus. Come on now, think about it. Mm-hmm. I'm sure at one time or another, we've all dealt with some stressful situations. We've all been through some things that it seems like, oh my goodness, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Now, what I love about the text is, the text lets us know exactly how everyone responded by being in this distress. The text goes on and says that some of these men, they hid in caves. My God. They hid in thickets. They hid in cliffs, in cellars, in pits. They went in wherever they could get in. Come on now. To get away. That's what it says. Some of them, they tried to hide from their problem. We find that others, they say they crossed the Jordan into the land of Gal and Gilead. In other words, other people tried to do what? Run from their problems. Some folk tried to hide from their problems. Some tried to run from their problems. And then we find, but as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him, what? Trembling. While other people turned to a man in fear. That's what the text says, basically. Now, each one of these responses, trying to hide from the problem, trying to run from the problem, trying to go to the man because of the problem, in fear, are all situations and all responses that are motivated, let me submit to you, by fear instead of by faith. Now, we noticed how the king responded. Now, who would the king was obviously the leader of Israel. Instead of waiting for the prophet, the text tells us in verse 8, now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattering, so he did what? He took some matters into his own hands. He waited for 7 days for the prophet to come. But when Samuel did not show up, come on now, y'all know how we get sometimes. All right, now I done prayed to God. All right, it seemed like he ain't showing up, and they told me I got till 12 o'clock. Come on now. What am I supposed to do? He took it upon himself with great impatience, and he called for the burnt offering. He called for the peace offerings. He called for the thing in which the prophet was supposed to do so he could do it himself. Now, was this the right action or the wrong action to take? It was truly wrong. That is why we find that Samuel said, "You have done a foolish thing." Why was this the case? You got to go back and read it. Because at that time, only the priests and the prophet could what? They were the only qualified individuals to offer sacrifice of these offerings. But he took it upon himself. So we find that Saul had found himself in a strait. He had found himself in a situation that was making him being in distress at that moment. And during this time of distress, he made some very unwise decisions. How many of us have ever been in times of distress? And we made some choices, we made some decisions, only to find out later, man, that was foolish. Man, I shouldn't have done that. Now, what is interesting is that if we're saved here today, we encounter distressful situations, just like individuals who are not saved. Did y'all know that? Think about it. Because you figure the saved and the unsaved has what? Marriage issues. Come on now. Think about it. Ain't no discrimination. The saved and the unsaved, they got financial issues sometime. Come on now. The saved and the unsaved, come on now. They get a pink slip. They lose their job. They get fired sometime. The saved, the unsaved, they lose loved ones that they cared about. Come on now. We all experience situations that are what? Distressful. That cause stress in our lives. But this morning, I believe that each and every one of us as believers, we can deal with distressful situations. And I want to look at the negative example today of King Saul. And we're going to flip that thing on to a positive so we can help us to learn some principles that's going to help us during those times of distress. So this morning, we want to look at how can we deal with times of distress in our lives. Based on the negative example, we're going to flip it and turn it into a positive principles for us today. This morning, number one, by refusing to blame others, we can deal with distressful situations and our lives by refusing to what? Blame others. The text says in verse number 11, but Samuel said, what have you done? And Saul says, because I saw that the people were scattering from me and that you didn't come on now, y'all, I can only imagine how he said it, within the appointed times, and not just that, the Philistines, they were assembling and mishmash. Come on now, think about it. During the time of distress, we find that Saul made a very bad choice. And then when he was confronted with Samuel, Saul attempted to do what? To shift the blame on everybody else. He blamed the people of Israel. Come on now. Because the folk were scattering. That's the first reason why I did what I did. Not only that, because the Philistines, they were there. And then not only that, you know what? You didn't come when you were supposed to come. That's why I did basically what I did. Saints, there will be times in our lives that we will endure times of distress. And you know what? Sometime it will be really no fault of our own. But you know what? Why would it not be any fault of our own? Because we live in this world. Because things just happen sometime. What? Because life can throw us a curveball. Think about it. Come on now. Things will happen in this life just because we're in this world. But there will be times of distress that will come into our lives because of the choices in which we have made. Because of the choices that we made that did not line up with what God told us to do and did not line up with his word. Saints, we got to understand that this is where the words responsibility and accountability comes to play and comes into our picture. We got to understand that every person is what? Is responsible, and every person is what? Accountable for what? His or her what? Actions. Come on now, think about it. They used to say, come on, can't nobody make you do nothing you don't want to do? So think about it. Why did you do that? Well, because everybody else, peer pressure, they said, come on now. All of us are responsible and accountable for our own actions. We find in Scripture over in Matthew chapter number 12, verse number 36 and 7, it says, "But I say to you that for every idle word or every careless word," one translation said, "men may speak, they will" what? "Give an account of it in the day of" what? "Of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your works you will be what? Condemned." My God. It speaks of what? Us having responsibility, us being held accountable for words. Now we find over in Romans 14, 12 and 13, "So then each of you, us will" what? "Give an account of ourselves" to who? To the pastor? To God. To your co-workers? To your supervisors? No, to God. Right. It goes on and says, "Therefore, let us stop" what? "Passing judgment on one another." My God. "Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in the way of a brother or a sister." How many times have we passed judgment on people? Saints, God is a God of accountability. We got to make sure that we understand that every person that lives here on this earth will have to be held accountable for his or her actions, for his or her choices. It won't be, "I did this because they did this. I did this because they that." I don't think that's going to be a good enough excuse when the time comes. Why? Because our God would not allow us to justify our wrong actions by blaming other people. Why? Because if he did, he would not be a God that is worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. If we're going to deal with times of distress in this life, we must first make sure that we refuse to blame others. During those times, it was caused because of our bad choices, our bad decisions, because of everything in which we have what? We have done. Secondly, how can we deal with times of distress in our life? By refusing to rely on our human reasoning. Now, when we talk about human reasoning, I'm talking about trying to think that situation out. It's dealing with our cognition. It's dealing with our intellect. Verse 12 says, "Therefore I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal, and I have not asked the favor of the Lord. So I forced myself," he says, "and offered the burnt offering." He had to force himself, he said. "I just forced myself, you know, come on now." That's like somebody going into the store. "I forced myself to take that candy and walk out without paying." Come on, now think about it. After looking, the text said he forced himself. You know, "I had to force myself." The text says, after looking at the outward circumstances from the previous verse, y'all remember in the previous verse what happened? Samuel didn't come on time. The folk were scattering. Come on down. I thought they were going to come and get me. Come on down. After looking at all that, right, he said, "Therefore I said, because of all this going on around me, I said." In other words, he's dealing with human reasoning. Come on now. He weighed some things and some options. All right, based on this going on, let me think about it. What should I do? That's what he was saying. Now, and if we be honest, it seems to make sense. You know, I got this going on. It seemed to be a logical what? Decision in which he had made based on the circumstances that were all around him. It seemed to be a rational decision. But it's a decision that Samuel called foolish in verse number 13. Saints, when we are in times of distress, one of the worst things in which we can do is try to reason our way up out of that thing. Why? Because we will always make a bigger mess than what it was at the first place. Come on now. We try to reason that thing out. I'm going to work this thing out. Come on now. If it's a financial, I'm going to rob Peter to pay Paul only to be 2 months behind. Come on now. We got to make sure that we do things right. We got to make sure that we are a people that don't forget what God's word says. God's word tells us in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, what? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And what? Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Submit unto him or acknowledge him, and he will make your paths what?
Straight.
Or he will direct your path. Sometimes we get in trouble. Why? When we're leaning on our own understanding. Saul was leaning on his own understanding. Come on now. As believers, we got to make sure that we first seek who? God and his word. Why? Because when we do this, we understand that we can, when we seek him, we walk in his wisdom. We have no confidence in our own fleshly desires and thoughts, in our own fleshly decisions and our own fleshly abilities in this life. God has given us principles to live by in his word. And you know what? We can make some wise decisions if we trust his word. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. And lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him. Come on now. Go to him, understanding that he's the God that is able, and he's going to do what? Direct our paths. Sometimes we don't lean and trust God because we what? We have our own ways in which we want to do things. Come on now. Saul, he was a man that was self-willed. Instead of seeking God, he what? He made a decision in the flesh that the prophet said that was what? It was foolish. What's the lesson in here which we can learn from Saul? When we are in times of distress, one of the worst things in which we can ever do is make a rash decision because of things that's going on around us and trust in our only flesh and our fleshly decisions. Come on now. Our fleshly reasoning. There will be times in our lives, and there's been times in my life that I've made some ill-advised choices, only to find out later, Lord, I should not have done that. I should have went to him first. I should have trusted him to work that situation out instead of trying to work that situation out by my own. I should have went to him first in prayer. I should have dug in my word and tried to stay there until he said, this is what you need to do. Come on now. We can do some things that God can do. We need to make sure if we want to make decisions, I want to make a decision that's a God-honoring decision. So that's why I'm going to trust him. That's why I'm going to seek him. And that's why I'm going to serve him in accordance with his word. How can we deal with times of distress in our lives? First, we got to refuse to blame others for our choices. Secondly, we got to refuse to rely on our human reasoning, our own human logic. Third and finally, we got to make sure that we remain faithful in the little things. Now, that's important. This is important. We got to remain faithful in the little things. The text says in verse 13 and 14, Samuel said to Saul, you have acted what? Foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not endure. The Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Think about it. Now, us looking, you know, from the outside in, well, what was the big deal? Him just, you know, offering the burnt offerings. And you know, Samuel wasn't there. But God had commanded and had some things set in order that only the prophet or the priest could what? Offer those sacrifices. And all you had to do is what? Honor that. If he would have honored that, if he would have remained humble, his kingdom could have been on forever. But he wanted to make that fire. He wanted to burn them offerings. Because he ain't come on time. Because folk were scattering. Come on now. Where, oh, see, the folk leaving me. Get that wood. Come on then. Y'all get what we need to get. Get them offerings. He wanted to go and do things his own way. The problem is that if Saul could not trust God in the little things, like waiting on Samuel, how in the world could God trust him with the bigger things. And Samuel recognized this. That's why he said, what you have done is foolish. Saints of God, when we are in times of distress, it's easy sometimes for us to lose sight of the little things. Sometimes when we're in distress, we get a tendency, you know what? I'm not even going to go to church. I'm just going to stay to myself. This is, you know, I just need some me time. Sometimes when we're in times of distress, what happened? We don't read our word like we used to. Come on now. We don't read it like we used to. I'm going through. I'm dealing with me. Sometimes during times of distress, we stop praying. During times of distress, I really don't got it to give. We stop giving. Come on now. I'm just being real.
Yes.
There was a time in my life, and my wife, we ain't had no kids. It was just me and her. Come on now. I told her, you know what? I dare you to give that money to that church. Come on now. That's my testimony. Why? You know we needed that money. Come on now. You better not give that. I did. I had the bills worked out. We had just enough. Come on now. You better not give that money. Now this was the time. We literally just got married. Now imagine spending $400 to $500 a week for groceries. Two people. We ain't know how to shop. We ain't know what we were doing. 1 week, $400 or $500 worth of groceries. At the end of the week, where did all the food go? You know we ain't that food. You know, come on, think about it. I said, Lord, have mercy.
Yes.
Saints, when we are in times of distress, this is when we need to stay faithful in the little things. We got to make sure we don't let the little things go. We find over in Luke 16:10-11. It says, whoever can be trusted with what? With very little can also be what? Trusted with much. And wherever is dishonest with very little will also be what? Dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy and handle worldly wealth, how can or who will trust you with true riches?
Yes.
I thought that was very interesting as I was doing my study. We find that our God is looking for individuals that are after his own heart. Now, and of course, we understand that David was the man that was after God's own heart. And when we talk about being after God's own heart, it only speaks of and lets us know that, you know what? Whatever is important to God, that's what's important to me. Whatever God matters to God, that's what matters to me. It's not about my own will. It's not about my own desire. It's not about my own thoughts. But you know what? It's about God's heart. I want to have God's heart. I want to do what he wants me to do, not what I want to do. Now, if we be honest, this is the real struggle in which we have. You know, trying to juggle making God the head of our life and doing what we want to do. I told him during Bible study on Thursday, I said, you know what? When I was sinning, you know, I can't lie. I enjoyed the pleasures of sin, but they were only temporary. We must make sure that we enjoy serving our Heavenly Father even more than that. Think about it. What did Christ do? He came to earth. He died on the cross for each and every one of our sins. He didn't stay there. They put him in a tomb. And what happened? He rose from the dead. All right. Now, the reality of the matter is, if Christ had not been faithful to listen to the Father in the little things, think about it, then his death on the cross would not really matter if he wasn't faithful in everything that the Father told him to do. His death would not count for anything if he only was faithful in the big things and not the little things. John 4:34 says, My food is to what? Do the will of him who sent me, and to what? Accomplish his work. This is Christ speaking. All right. He's saying basically, you know what? My food is to what? To do my Father's will. How many of us can say that our food, our source of strength, our substance is found in doing the will of God? You're like, come on now. We don't really say that too much. Why? Come on now. Because we like our ribs. Come on now. We like our mac and cheese. Come on now. We like our collard greens. Come on. I like them. Come on. I like them. We understand that, of course, of course, we have to eat. But you know what? Above eating, do we want to please our Father? Do we want to do what he called us to do? In John 6 and 38, it says, for I have come down from heaven not to do what?
My will,
but to do the will of him who what? Yes. Who sent me. We find a theme going over and over again. Mm-hmm. How many of us can say each day that, you know what? My desire, my priority is to do the will of my Heavenly Father, mm-hmm, and to please him with my words, please him with my actions, please him with everything. My thought life. Come on now. Over in John 8 and 29, it says, and he that sent me is what? Is with me. The Father has not left me alone. For I do always those things that what? Please him. How many of us truly believe that our Heavenly Father have not left us nor forsaken us while we're here, even during times of distress? How many of us truly desire to what? Please him every day in which we live. Think about it. That should be our desire. My final thoughts, and I'm done right here. There may be times in our lives that we find ourselves in a jam, come on now, in a situation, in a time of distress. And just like Saul, we may make some bad decisions during times of distress. But I believe that as we refuse to blame others, as we refuse to rely on our human reasoning, our human logic, our cognition, and as we remain faithful in the little things, that God will what? Deliver us from each time of a distress in which we encounter. Now, my final scripture is this. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 10. It says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on what? Ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope, that he will continue to deliver us. Saints, during times of distress, I want you to know he wants to deliver each and every one of us. It doesn't matter what comes our way. And it may be situations that seem like it knocks the wind out of us. The Apostle Paul, he was going through situations. It seemed like they were going to die. But you know what? He trusted God and knew that, you know what? The same God that delivered me before, he'll do it again. Stand to your feet. Saints of God, each of us here, if we have never dealt with times of distress, I want you to know those times will come. But we got to make sure that we are those that don't try to what? Blame others. We got to make sure that, you know what? We don't try to rest in our own logic, but that we what? That we rely on God, not on ourselves. And that we, no matter what, remain faithful in the little things. And as we do that, God will be honored. I want to pray today that God would bring this message back to our remembrance during the times we go through distress. I want to pray that he will help us to make wise decisions, that we don't stand on our own footing, but that we trust him and seek him. And that he would continue to lead us, guide us, and deliver us as we remain faithful to him. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, dear God, for your word. Lord, I thank you, dear God, that we understand that during times of distress, Lord, you are with us. You already see. Lord, help us to be those, dear Lord, that are not like Saul, that try to blame others for our choices. But Lord, I pray right now that you would help us, dear Lord, to be those, dear Lord, that understand that we have to give an account. We will be held responsible. Lord, help us, dear God, not to rest in our own reason, not to rest and rely on ourselves. But Lord, allow us to always rely on you, understanding that you are the God who is able to deliver us. Lord, I thank you, dear God, and I pray right now that you would be the one, dear Lord, that we trust in. For your word lets us know to trust in you with all our heart, dear God. Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge you. And you're going to make our path straight. You're going to direct our path. So Lord, I pray right now that you would direct our paths. Help us, dear God, to shift our focus on you at all times, in all seasons, in all situations, understanding that you are the God that's able to deliver us. Lord, I pray right now that if we're going through times of distress right now, dear God, that you would comfort your people, that you would lead your people, that you would guide your people. Allow them, dear Lord, to understand, dear Lord, that you are in control in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now, dear God, even for those in Puerto Rico. Lord, touch them, dear Lord. Reach them at the point of their need, dear God. Give them hope again, dear God, that what has happened, you shall provide and you shall take care of them. Lord, I thank you, dear God, for I understand that you see all and you know all. Lord, I pray right now that we would trust you and that you would make all things new. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.